Good morning, everybody. It's Memorial Day weekend, and we appreciate you coming out. Whether you're in the parking lot or listening to us at home on Facebook, thank you so much. It's just great to see you. And so as we dedicate this first part of the service to the men and women who sacrificed their lives for us, one of the things that we can't do, unfortunately, is give you the words in your car, but you know these songs. We live in the greatest country in the world. We thank our men and women of the military and law enforcement who protect our right to even meet today, and those who gave their all, those who gave their lives. And so, would you join us singing America the Beautiful? Amen. For our scripture reading today, we're going to be looking at 2 Chronicles. And I'd like you to hear this very carefully because this applies to us. I really believe that one of the reasons why God permitted this pandemic, if you will, is to get us to rethink our need for Him. And so, in that light, would you hear these words? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Isn't that a great promise? Mm-hmm. But we need to come humbly in repentance and faith, turning to God, crying out to Him, and He will bring healing.
Deep were the wounds, and dark was the night.
We need God to bless us as a nation more than ever. This should be a familiar song to you. It was written by Lee Greenwood back in 1984. So if you know it, would you sing along, please? Amen. As we pray, I want to pray for those whose families made the ultimate sacrifice and given their loved ones to defend for us. Today's a day of remembrance, and it's a day that we should, I would even say, thank those who are still with us who have served in the military, in law enforcement, those who are serving, our health workers, and the many people who are in harm's way. And so would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you and praise you for the country in which we live. And Father, I feel led right now to pray for our president, our vice president. They have a tough task, Father, and we need you to flood their hearts with your word and wisdom as they lead our country. But Father, for those whose families have lost loved ones, for whether what war or what action they took, Father, to protect our freedoms, we pray your blessings on those families today, Father. We want to remember in a special way and honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Father, help us never to take for granted the freedoms which we have. Help us to continue to fight for those freedoms. Help us continue to guard those freedoms. And help us to realize fresh and anew that those freedoms come from the hand of your grace. And we give the Lord Jesus Christ all glory and honor. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We're blessed to be here today. I want to read to you the scripture we're going to look at in a few minutes in the message. And my focus today was very simple. It was to pay honor to those who served in the military and law enforcement who gave their all. But we serve the one who gave his all, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus rose from the grave and then ascended back into heaven, he didn't leave us powerless. He sent his Holy Spirit. And shame on us as a conservative evangelical church. I don't think we give enough attention to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But would you listen to this, please? This is Acts chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the wind of the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I think that's tremendous. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Ultimately, utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongue?" Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, and they said they've had too much wine. May God add his blessing to the word.
Thank you. I decided to come out. Can you hear me? I can't tell you how great it is to see all of you today. And were you blessed by the music? This is so cool because, not that we want to show off, but I'm hoping people passing by will know that Jesus is still alive. And that, amen. And he's in control. He's still in the driver's seat. I want to just share with you from that passage that we read. You know, Jesus is so gracious. He told his disciples that he was going to leave, but he wasn't going to leave them alone. He was going to send them a power, and that power would come in the person of the Holy Spirit so they can carry on his mission as he continued to guide them and empower them. I just want to let you know, I believe we have the finest military in the world. Anyone who serves in the... Anyone who served in the military or in law enforcement undergoes rigorous training and extensive training. They have to develop their strength, their skills, and equip them to face any situation that they might encounter in order to perform their duties. There's another purpose to their training, and that is to use all the tools and talents they have to accomplish a clear mission. A clear mission. If you talk to anybody who's been in the military or anybody in law enforcement, they will tell you that they're at their best when they know their mission. I want to suggest to you this morning that God, through Christ, gave us our mission. It's called the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. The other purpose is that we need to know that both the military and law enforcement must work together in unity to achieve their mission. And so, you being here today shows the unity of the church. You listening at home shows the unity at church. And so, we go. But Jesus gives to the church what we need. The clear mission, go into your world and make disciples, teaching them all that he taught us and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. He gives the power to the church to continue, even in the face of opposition. Now listen to me, and I hope you join me in praying this each and every day. No matter what you and I face in the coming days, the church will still go on. We may have to find some creative ways to do it, but the church will still be the church. But who is the church? It's not the building. It's us. It's the people who have been called out by God. And so one of the first things I want you to notice in this passage is the power that God gives to us, that Jesus gave to us through the Holy Spirit for the church. Let me give you some background. This is the time of Pentecost. Pentecost was one of three festivals that obligated every Jewish male within 20 miles of Jerusalem to attend. There were two other feasts, the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, that required their presence also. But Pentecost was also known as the Feast of Weeks, so it was the 50th day after Passover. Pentecost was commonly attended by Jews from all over the world, all over the known world back then. So there was many people in Jerusalem. You see how Jesus has set the stage now for what was going to happen. We need to understand something also about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person, and I should underline that, the third person of the Trinity. He is fully God, but he is a person. He's not an it. He's not a force. He's a person. He is a spirit. His name means breath or air in the original language. If I can paraphrase, if you allow me to do that, the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. You and I need the breath of God. In fact, we're told in the scripture that the moment we trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, that the Spirit of God, the breath of God, entered into our lives. Do you realize that it was the breath of God that gave Adam life? Do you realize it was the breath of God who gives us our next breath? And so, the Spirit of God who indwells us the moment we believe. His ministry is to convict the world of sin. Not sin as the world defines it or doesn't define it, but sin as the Bible defines it, and open up the hearts of men and women to the good news of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, he also empowers us to understand his word. He is the helper, the comforter, the one who empowers us. My guess upon the previous chapter, Acts chapter 1, is that others were praying and reading the scripture, and they were united in fellowship when this happened. You heard that they were in the upper room. They were praying. They were united. They were ready. They prepared themselves for what was coming, although I don't think they totally realized what was coming. The question I have to ask today is, are we prepared? I really think God can do a great thing, even through this coronavirus pandemic. I really believe God could bring revival to his people, first of all, and then second, spur a spiritual awakening in our country. But we need to be united, and we need to be praying. And so, guess what? What happened on that great day? They were surprised by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice the language in those verses. In those verses, the description that Dr. Luke wrote was almost in the language of Revelation. It says, I heard a great noise like the blowing of a violent wind. He didn't say it was. He just said it was like. This had to go beyond description. And then he goes on to say that something was happening. This wasn't just a bad storm. Something supernatural was happening. The power of the Holy Spirit spilled out into Jerusalem. God-fearing Jews from all nations were there for the Feast of Pentecost. And the sound from heaven got their attention. God is always, always calling out to us to get our attention because he wants to work in and through us. The power of the Holy Spirit enabled them to hear the wonders of God in their native languages. Isn't that wonderful? These are mostly uneducated people who never spoke these languages before. And because of the power of the Holy Spirit, you remember the language? What seemed like tongues of fire divided up on them and rested on them. And they began speaking in other languages. You know, these things just teach me that anything is possible with God. Anything is possible with God. This must have been an amazing worship service to prepare the way for Peter's powerful message later on in this chapter. Can you imagine how the world could be influenced by powerful worship services, empowered by the Holy Spirit, worship services in which we can worship, as Jesus would say, in spirit and in truth? And so, as you and I yield to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus under the authority of the Word, the Holy Spirit may enable us to do things to glorify our Lord, Jesus Christ. I want to add to that, I think he will enable us to do things we never thought we were able to do. He will empower us to do his will, his purpose, not for our glory, but for his glory alone. My question this morning is, are we willing to yield to him? Are we willing to rest in Jesus? Are we willing to say to Jesus, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do to bring glory to your name, direct me through your word, direct me by your great commission, by your great commandment, Holy Spirit, help me live it out. Because if you and I do it under our own strength, we can't. That's why Jesus gave us supernatural power. I want you to just think on this for a minute. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, which is what the scripture says, the Holy Spirit lives in me and you. That's awesome. This has nothing to do with education level. This has nothing to do with income level. This has nothing to do with anything else. This has everything to do with a heart that's willing to yield to the Spirit of God. And if you notice at the end of the verse, where people were amazed, this great worship service was happening. And, well, you know, there's always the mockers. They probably came from a network radio station or a channel. And you know what they said? They're drunk. They had too much wine. How often do we see when the Spirit works in ways we never expect that people will try to oppose the work of the Spirit? Not all, but some. That they will try to explain it. I don't know if I'll be around. I would love to be around or see from heaven how the news is going to explain the rapture. I'd really like to see that. How are they going to explain that away? They can't explain away the empty tomb. How in the world are they going to explain away the rapture? See, wherever the Holy Spirit empowers the church to go forward with the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, there will be opposition. And Satan will fuel that opposition. And people will criticize us. Let them criticize. The one who we serve is more powerful. The one whom we serve will guide us and direct us. And you know what? Jesus tells us, pray for those who persecute you. Love those who persecute you. We pray for the people who mock and persecute. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you and I will remain faithful to the mission that Jesus is giving to us. I want you to think about some other ramifications of this passage. And what I don't want you to do is leave here thinking this was just for Pentecost. It wasn't. This is for us today. Could it be that if you and I yield to the Word of God and the Spirit of God and rest in Jesus and just give ourselves to the Holy Spirit, is it possible that you and I would be able to see more miracles? Do you think that? If you think that, would you honk your horn? I really think that we don't see miracles today because, number one, we don't pray for them, we don't expect them. Now, please don't misunderstand me. We can't obligate God to do anything. But what we can do is pray and know that God will do what glorifies Him in and through us. Are we willing to be able to take on a task that God might call us to, that we think is bigger than us, but He'll supply the power and the way to do it? Are we willing to take a risk that God is calling us to do? Are we willing to get out of our comfort zones? I think that if we learn anything in this pandemic, that we can easily rest in our comfort zones. Now, I'm not saying we should be stupid here or smart. We need to take precautions. What I am saying is this. When things get back to normal again, whatever that is, are we willing to go forth, not in our courage, not in our strength, but in the boldness of the Holy Spirit, loving people with the gospel of God, sharing your story with people? You know, you can share your story in a lot of ways, even though we're still technically homebound. You can share it online. You can share it over the phone. You can share it in emails. You can share it in a number of ways. But you can still share. And it's very simple. You tell people how you met Jesus, where you were when you met Him, and when you met Him, how incredible forgiveness and restoration is. and that you know in your heart that he has saved you for a purpose, his purpose, not ours. And in saying that, knowing that he will give you the power through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you and the rest of the church who's listening at home to start praying for a miracle. We need to see the doors of the churches open again. We need to ask God to work in the hearts of the powers to be, to let us open safely, to let us open with all the things we know we need to do, social distancing, masks, and gloves, or whatever we need to do, we'll do it. But know this, whatever is coming down the pike, the church will not be silenced. Amen? Amen. Having you here today has encouraged my heart so much, just to see you again. And you know, I don't know when this will all end. I don't know when we'll finally be able to physically come together again. But I do know this. Come that day, we're going to have a great celebration. We're going to have a great prayer meeting. And we're going to continue to ask God to guide us going forward. Listen, we're going to end this in worship, because that's what the people in Acts chapter 2 were doing. They were worshiping. They were telling of the great wonders and works of God. Every one of you here is a miracle. Every one of you here is a great wonder and work of God. Every one of you here, the fact that you're here today to worship in this dark an evil world is a testimony to the goodness of God. Amen? I'm going to ask the praise team to take their places, and would you join in song, please? I would encourage you not to let the media, not to let politics, not to let anyone else define who you are. You are a child of the King. You are one who was worthy, not deserving, but worthy of being saved by the cross and the resurrection of Christ. We are who He says we are. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
We got a bunch of whistleblowers out there.
Whistle.
God is good. All the time. That's not too bad. We understood you.
Let's pray before you go, and as you exit the parking lot, I pray that you do it safely. Watch for other people, please. Let's pray. Father, would you release us from this service in the power of the Holy Spirit? Help us never to lose sight of the great commission, the clear mission that we have. And help us to never lose a heart of love for you, to love you with all our strength, our mind, our heart, and our might. And help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, to you be the glory. Lord Jesus, thank you for our great salvation. Holy Spirit, empower us as we go. And all God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great day.